In today's gospel lesson from John's gospel, we hear something that kind of surprises us, because Jesus surprises us by lifting up the image of friendship to describe His relationship to us and with us. He says in verse 15, He says, "I do not call you servants any longer. I have called you friends." Jesus the Christ, the very Son of God, Lord of all creation, calls you and I friends. This means, to borrow from our Quaker brothers and sisters, that the church is a society of friends united by the love of Christ has for each of us. Yet we are called to be servants and apostles, but we are also called by God's grace friends of Jesus Christ. You see, following the resurrection and prior to His ascension, Jesus shared with His disciples His vision for their life together, telling them that love that united Him with the Father now unites Jesus with His disciples and His disciples with one another. "I have called you friends," He says. In calling us friends, Jesus has given us a new name, a new story, and a new identity. Not that we've chosen, but one that has been chosen and given to us. You see, before we are anything else in this world, before you are wives and husbands, sisters and brothers, white, black, American, Republican, Democrat, employee or employer, Tea Partiers or teetotalers, we are friends of Jesus. Guess what? We are Christians. We have been called up in His story. He has called us all up in His story. We are a part of God's story. By God's grace, we have been written into the story of Jesus and His church. "I have called you friends," He says. One of the most interesting things about life in the church is that as we become more and more in this world, as we begin to abide more in Christ, to develop a relationship with Christ that is intimate and natural, we also come more and more to share life with others. Life with others who are friends with Jesus, just like we are. A colleague of mine once remarked in something that he was saying, he said, "Jesus makes very strange friends." Have you ever been called strange or odd or different? Probably we all have at some point. We've been at some particular place with a different group of people, and they probably thought we were weird, and we probably thought they were. We've been a little bit different, but Jesus makes strange friends. We typically think that our friends are those we choose because we share something in common or we like each other. But Jesus clearly reminds us that the basis for Christian friendship is much, much deeper. He says, "You did not choose me," He says, "but I chose you." "You did not choose me, but I chose you," He tells us in verse 16. From a disjointed and unlikely group of tax collectors, fishermen, and women, and sinners, and religious zealots, all kinds of folks, Jesus forms a society of friends whose life together is rooted in and grows out of their friendship with Him. You see, this society of friends is then called to embody the kind of radical, self-giving love that is seen in the life and death of Jesus. Best friends. Beginning and being friends with Christ means that we are graciously chosen, that He chose us. Chosen not because of any inherent quality that you and I may possess, and chosen not for reward, but for the responsibility of just being obedient to Christ's commandment of love. We are obedient to God. By calling us His friends, it is clear that the invitation to share a friendship with Christ and in that fellowship of His church is Jesus' invitation to give. He calls us. He chooses us to come be a part. He decides with whom He will be friends. This is a radical notion for many congregations where sharing in the fellowship of the community seems to be often defined by a life interest or family ties, rather than an intimate relationship with the One who makes strangers friends. He makes strangers friends. Finally, being friends of Jesus means that you and I are commanded by Jesus to love one another, to love those people sometimes that we don't think are too lovable, but to love them. Jesus is not a choice. It is a way of life for those who are friends of Jesus. Christian friendship is not much about what we feel towards one another as it is about our willingness to follow Christ's example in considering the needs of the other before we consider our own. When you consider the needs of someone else before you think of yourself, we are to love by laying down our lives for our friends, he tells us in verse 13, to lay down your life for your friends. We discover what it means to be commanded to love one another in Jesus' sacrificial death. It is Jesus who demonstrates for you and I what it means to lay down one's life for one's friends. We don't always have to like one another, but we do have to love one another. Because even when we were unlovable, Jesus extended the love of God to us and made us who we were. He made all of us who were strangers together in that land and in this time, He made us friends. You see, the surprising thing about being friends of Jesus is that the closer we draw to Him, the more friends we discover that we actually have. Even more, we would have never counted many of those folks among our friends and others that perhaps seem quite unlovable. There are people that are in our path now, that are in our life, that we would have probably never chosen. But they're people that we are friends with. We often romanticize or get sentimental about Christ's invitation to friendship with Him. But it can be a radical thing. The world says, keep out those who are different. The world tells us to build fences, secure our borders. And Jesus says to us, welcome and befriend the stranger. The world says, kill your enemies. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Galatians, we hear that the world tells us only certain kinds of people are worthy of our friendship. But guess what? In Galatians 3:28, it says that in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. The world says maintain clear distinctions between the good guys and the bad guys. But Jesus once said to a group of former fishermen, tax collectors, religious zealots, betrayers, and saints, good and bad alike, He said to them, I have called you my friends. I have called you my friends. What a profound gift that we have been given, friendship with God. But make no mistake about it, this gift is also a command for you and I. We who were once strangers, far off from the promises of God, have been brought near because Jesus made us His friends. And He invites us to be His friends in the world today. Our lives are forever redefined because of our friendships with Him. Our vocation, our calling, our way in the world is now to befriend any and all who are friendless, who themselves are lost and alone, estranged from God, estranged from themselves and estranged from one another. As a society of friends, the church points to the beloved kingdom of God, where all of us, each and every one of us, are invited to gather around the table and share the feast of love in the name of the one who calls us His friends. This morning you're going to be invited to the table. You're going to be invited to come and share, to break bread with your brothers and sisters, to come and break bread, if we break the bread as we give and we share in that holy meal, that time together. It comes together as we break bread around a table like many of us did on Friday with one another. It's a time when you join together and share and think and be a part of it. When we come together for the Lord's table this day, we come remembering. Last week one day I was at a store purchasing some dog food, talking to different people, and the young girl that was waiting on me, she was asking me how I was, and we were talking, and she said, you know, we're talking about church, and she said, do you go to church? And I said, yes, I do. And I began to talk to her, and after a while, she said, oh, that's really cool. Yeah, you know, she went on and on. And a little bit, she said, you know, we had that stuff at church this past week. She said, I can't remember what it's called, but she said, it's the blood and skin, and that's what got me. I said, the blood and skin. I said, that's a pretty good way to say God's. I said, the body and the blood. I said, the communion. She said, that's it, communion. I couldn't remember the word. And I said, well, there you go. But when she said skin, I got to thinking about, wow. We don't. What do you think about? What she knew it was his body. But guess what? It is his skin. It's his body. It's his blood. It's his muscle. It's his everything that flowed from him, the lifeblood that flowed out of him was his blood. But also the skin, the body, consumed when we break the bread. So, you know, sometimes we need a God with skin on. And sometimes we are God with skin on to people around us. So we have to remember that we sometimes are the one that is chosen to be God with skin on in somebody's presence, in somebody's place. So this day, we need to remember that God called us his friends, and that's what we are here to be about. It is a command, and it is a love, and it is a gift. Let us pray.